Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do this, baby.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Why not? It's Friday.
No, I'm feeling good now.
It's Friday.
I'm feeling good.
Come on. Hell, you ought to after that good grub I fed you last night. Man, good times you had for a couple days.
I ain't been able to eat since, man. that's a lie. I ate a little bit. Clint Sterner, I am here. Ron the Show Hughley in today. Man, I'm in a good mood, man. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling happy. But damn, man, how come this story won't die?
Right.
This thing, man, I mean, I came in here, I was feeling good. I didn't see it up and down the Chronicle. Only thing I did see on the Chronicle is, you know, God bless those exotic dancers who are suing that club. But other than that, man, I thought, well, they was. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
man,
I hear you.
I thought we had gotten past it. This is stories of the day. I thought we had gotten past it. But no, it just keeps coming back.
Hey, look, show this deal in Major League Baseball, this sign-stealing scandal, this is a bigger problem than steroids ever thought about being back in the late 90s and the early 2000s. This is a much bigger problem for Major League Baseball than steroids ever thought about being.
Let me chew on that. I'm gonna listen. This is bigger than steroids because a whole bunch of people was on steroids. I mean, we saw Barry Bonds' head. The way he continues to deny. Man,
First of all, they weren't testing for it, so it was no surprise. But when it happened, I said, I tell y'all what, wait 10 or 15 years, and then just look at the baseball cards. Just get you an old pack of Topps baseball cards and start flipping through them cards and see how the body's changed. Get you a 1998. You can buy a box, an unopened box. Go get you an unopened box of Topps baseball cards. Rip that thing open, chew on that piece of gum, and look at the bodies that are on some of those baseball cards, and then get you a 2018 set. And go ahead and flip through there. I mean, steroids was a major ordeal. I mean, obviously, it was a major ordeal. There's a lot of careers that were torn apart over that. But this is bigger, man. To me, this is bigger than steroids ever thought about being. And there's a couple of reasons why, but the big one is this. This takes the advantage. This particular advantage takes the ability out of the equation. Like if you're on steroids and you're playing, if I'm a pitcher and you're on steroids and everybody knows it, by the way, I got a buddy of mine that I played some football with, that he was one of those. He said, Clint, I will bet a large amount of money that the number of Major League Baseball players at that point in time that were using steroids is in the 80 to 90% range.
80 to 90%
range.
I'm really waiting to hear this because I don't agree with you right now. But I am open-minded to be swayed.
Standing up there and I'm pitching and my stuff is better than you, if my stuff is better than yours, steroids ain't helping. It may help you recover. It may help you last longer. There may be some power involved. But the hand-eye coordination, and I've never taken steroids. So, I mean, full disclaimer, I've never taken steroids. So, if somebody, y'all text us, 713-572-4610. Shoot us a text if you have knowledge of steroids where it helps your hand-eye coordination.
No.
And that advantage of hitting a baseball. There, I don't care how big and how strong you are, there's still a side of hitting a baseball that is skill related. And steroids can't help that. You can get bigger, stronger, faster. I get it all that. But there's a certain I still, as a pitcher, if I got really good stuff, I still got a certain advantage over you. Okay? If you know what I'm throwing, if I'm sitting up there and I'm a pitcher and you know what I'm throwing,
it makes Garrett Cole more hittable.
It don't matter who you are. You take – yes, it does. You take the advantage of my good stuff, my ability to locate, my ability to change speeds. You take that completely out of the equation. And for me, that means more, or that's a bigger deal than a guy juicing a little bit, getting stronger, having a little faster hands too. If he sees the ball, if he sees the pitch, if he sees the ball, then his hands may be a little quicker to get there. Or his power may be a little bit more, so he gets a ball instead of a warning track. You know, it's out of the park. So to me, they're both obviously horrible. But to me, one of them is a problem. The other one is huge, man. Look, there's no better guy in the business than Pete Rose. And Pete Rose, when he says that it's a huge advantage, I take that into consideration. This is a guy that is completely aware of the late 90s and early 2000s of all the steroids. This is Pete Rose talking about the advantage of hitting a baseball when you know what's coming.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, some of these home run hitters, you know, I can think of Johnny Bench, my catcher for all those years. If you told him what was coming, he'd hit the damn thing out of Yellowstone Park. I mean, it's just these guys can set on a pitch. You know, that's what guess hitters do. When you're a guess hitter, you'll go up to the plate and you might guess for a fastball. You might guess for a curveball. If you guess wrong, you could be in some trouble. But if you guess right, you just have the best swing you can have. You're never, if you know what's coming, guys, you're never fooled. And we all know in baseball, you know, you know what Verlander's best pitch is. You know what he throws. Does he throw a fastball and a slider? Does he throw a fastball and a curveball and a changeup? And, you know, if you know what's coming, you can really light him up. You really have, you may not get a hit, but you'll have a good swing.
Look, Pete said it best. Let me reframe it. When you take all the guesswork out of hitting, I believe that's more of an advantage than juicing. Is that fair?
I'm thinking, man, you sweat, because I wasn't with you. Because the first part, because I think Barry Bonds, I think great players are enhanced with steroids. Like you just said,
yes.
I think their skill level and what he can do is enhanced. We think about Barry
Bonds.
Doubt.
You
talk about
no
Mark
doubt.
McGwire, what he could do is enhanced. But I think where you're getting with, in terms of especially the lengths, that it appears teams, the Astros, have gone through to do this, and how technical they were and how they could do it to everybody.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I damn you,
age. I think
you got me. I think it is. I don't know bigger, because I mean, we're talking about Supreme Court. We're talking about everything that happened with these guys who had to go to Congress and stuff like that.
I'm just talking
impact
about
impact-wise on a game. I think you might have something.
I think I'm just talking about when you look at the advantage of both. Obviously, both of them are a significant advantage. There's no doubt about it, right? I mean, there's clearly no doubt about it. But when you remove the guesswork from what pitch is coming, that is a bigger deal. That has a bigger impact on the game than steroids had on the game, in my opinion. Obviously, steroids allowed you to recover quicker. I mean, that was a big thing in baseball. Obviously, you got these guys that are just monsters. A few of them, they hit the ball out of the park, and that's where they got all the attention. But
the bigger thing is
like Roger Clemens' ability to play longer and his ability to recover quicker, and those kind of things is a big part of it as well. When I look at this, I just believe that there's no strength, there's no quicker hands, there's no ability to hit it, 40 feet deeper than I could before. That's all important, but it's not even remotely close to taking the guesswork out of the skill of hitting the ball.
No, like I said, I started off thinking steroids was something that was more impactful, but I do, especially in today's game with how important, you know, on base percentages, things like that. You could just guess walks.
I mean,
if you know somebody who throws a slider and it's not in the strike zone and you can just spit on pitches, you could just get on base. It's not always just, well, the home runs or the big – it's everything. Running up a pitch count because you're spitting on pitches. I think I've heard someone come out and say, man, I got him out 0-2, and then he just spit on four straight pitches.
Yeah.
Like, and didn't swing at him. And I'm like, how the hell he lay off these pitches running up pitch count? So it's just different ways when you know the pitch is coming.
When you know the pitch is coming, it impacts the game more than any hell anything that I can think of in the game to cheat. I mean, to me, it impacts the game significantly more. At the text line over here, it's blowing up. Y'all keep them coming. You sound very ignorant. A home run can change the whole outlook of the game. Well, yeah, no crap, it can, right? I mean, it's one of those deals where I'll never tell anybody I could do anything. I could hit a baseball back in the day, right? And I could coach a quarterback. Those two things right there.
That's what you could do,
right? If you know when I know what's coming in BP, in batting practice, I know what's coming. I know it's coming right over the heart of the plate. I know it's a fastball. I know what speed it's going to be. I know I'm sitting on this thing and I'm just going to let it eat.
Looking like an all-star.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it turns a real game damn near, other than location, it turns a real game and for a split second into a home run derby. You know what's coming. You sit on it and rip it. I mean, it's to me, this is the impact in an actual game, the impact that knowing a pitch, knowing what the next pitch is versus being bigger, stronger, faster. I think knowing what the next pitch is bigger than any strength that you can gain, any advantage you can gain from a steroid.
From the 713, Clint, the problem with your statement is that the act of stealing signs is legal. I mean, we understand some of the stuff.
That.
We're talking about trash cans.
We're talking about electric, possibly having something electric on your body.
Allegedly.
That allegedly that's telling you what pitch is coming, fool. We ain't talking about banging trash cans. hey, check this out. Look, you got that Jack McDowell. You got that Jack McDowell locked up. Hell, I ain't going to wait for you to go there, show. Hell with them. Hey, this is a Cy Young winner from the 80s, and you tell me this ain't more of an advantage than a guy juiced up on steroids and whatever steroids brings to him.
We had a system in Old Comiskey Park in the late 80s. Gatorade sign out in right center had a light. There was a toggle switch in the manager's office and a camera zoomed in on the catcher. Okay? I'm going to whistle blow this now because I'm getting tired of this crap. There was that. Tony La Russa is the one who put it in. He was also the head, the first team of all the team of people doing steroids, yet he's still in the game making $500,000, you know? No one's going to go after that. It's just the stuff's getting old where they target certain guys and let other people off the hook. And, you know, like the media doesn't know that this all happened, what's going on. Everybody knows. Everybody who's been around the game knows all this stuff. Why all of a sudden it became a big thing, I have no idea.
Why is everybody snitching now, Clint? Now you just put Tony La Russa out there.
Yeah, there's snitches everywhere. Hey, look, Houston, everybody relax. This dang text board is blowing up.
Oh, I love it. Y'all got
everybody
Clint fired
relax.
Up.
It ain't about the Astros. This is about one scandal being bigger than the other. I feel like there's a lot of fans out there that are getting butthurt about the fact that I'm saying one's bigger than the other.
Come on, Clint.
When it's all said and done, guys, I'm simply telling you, I'm making a statement that it's a bigger deal to know what pitch is coming. Somebody said, the balls are coming at a minimum of 80 miles an hour, you dipstick.
You wanted to say it.
Look, man, you think a Major League Baseball hitter cares about speed? You think he cares about a guy's ability to throw 85 or 105? They don't give a rip. They can hit all that. It's the ability to change from an 80 mile an hour changeup or a 75 mile an hour changeup to a 95 mile an hour fastball. When I'm sitting up there batting and I don't know what's coming, the ability to have a 15 mile an hour window of what pitch is coming is the problem, you fool. The fact that that's not the case. The fact that that's not the case, it takes the guesswork out of it. I'm a Major League Baseball hitter. If you tell me 100-mile-per-hour fastball is coming, I'm sitting on it. If it's a strike, I'm unloading on this joker.
Fool.
Come on, man.
Let's go.
Get the hell out of here.
Lee is off and going today. Damn, I need to pick it up. Let's go. Hey, coming up next.
The hell out of here.
Get the hell out of here. Y'all got Clint going,
hey,
man.
Yeah, get the hell out of here, man.
All right, Clint, man. We got to.
Sensitive text board.
Right,
come on.
Calm down, man. Turn your mic off, man. We got to go to break. Come on, man. Coming up, Clint's feeling good. I'm trying to feel good. And I'm going to start this next segment out. I'm calling out one of the biggest stars in Houston. And I ain't going to be shy. That's next. Oh, Houston, you done got clinched. Clint is in here with his hat backwards, just firing off messages to people. Clint is in rare. But it is 2:18. Y'all done got Clint here. We got to be here till 6.
Yeah, look here. I got a text line for your ass.
Here we go.
As a former pitcher, don't know who this is, I'd much rather face a juicer than a signal stealer. 100% right, Pilgrim.
V-Mac.
Come on.
Clinton just come found on. Out how to respond to these people.
I done got this steroid. I look his own, baby.
Now he's firing them up.
Clint could not be more right. If I knew what was coming, I wouldn't need steroids. And that's my boy Stephen Truitt. Played at A&M, big time player. Come on, man. Only reason I know that, I hope that's him. He put his name. I hope he ain't got a burner account because he put his name on it. My boy put his name on it. I'm gonna tell you.
Is this Friday, Clint?
Is this Friday, Clint? Some jackass talking about don't talk about what you don't know. Look, man, get the hell out of here.
That's Clint Sterner. I'm Ron the Show Hughley. I'm in today.
Man, get the hell out of this. What are we talking about now? What are we, 218?
I'm going to try to get something
I don't know
here.
If I can keep this place up, but y'all have pissed me off. Who put this text page in front of me?
I don't know. Clint is fired up here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. We have lost Clint Sterner. We're going to try to bring him back in. No, Clint, I'm calling him out, man. I think tonight or tomorrow night, the Rockets now get two days off. Tomorrow night, they got a big one. Do you want to just come here? Do you need one more off?
Get one more off, man. No, I got
you good.
Look, my boy wants you to tell us more about the strip club.
I just feel bad those young ladies, man. They had to sue that club.
My bad, Chief. Go ahead. I didn't mean that. It's too early for me to be. I'm messing up your flow now, man. Get this thing out in front of me, man.
No, I'm serious, man. Like we had, we talked about this yesterday, man. I told you I don't like the fact that they are not as a team that plays hard or is intense when they got a guy like Russell Westbrook, right? And this is a big one, man. This is a big one, as big as a regular season game can be. You got the Lakers on prime time. Everybody can see you in a bad stretch. You had two games off. Y'all done had yourselves a players-only meeting, right? Your leaders, Harden, Westbrook, players-only meeting. You got what is one of the bars in the league. You got the team coming in town, the King, LeBron, AD may be in or out, but you got the Lakers coming in town, the best record in the Western Conference. You come off that, this should be the best performance that we see from the Rockets all season. You got two games off, Clint. You're rested. You're coming off of this. They should be alive. They should be jumped and ready and amped for this. As amped as your crazy ass has been for the last 18 minutes. That's the way they should be rolling through here.
Preach, brother. Look, here's the deal, man, is that when you – when you talk about the Rockets, and this has been my spiel for the last year about the Rockets, right, is this regular season in the NBA, what does it really mean? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you play so many games. There's so many – now with this load management being part of it, I mean, there's so many factors that goes into each game each week. And I think in the NBA, a lot like Major League Baseball, when you try to really nail down how important one game in such a big schedule – such a busy schedule is, I think it's hard to do. But when you look at the NBA, I do believe with the Rockets, you can star certain games on the schedule.
Right.
And you go, this is going to be a gauge for where this organization is. And I went through it last year. I don't have the notes right in front of me, but I went through it last year. And Harden, he had a tendency to disappear late in games. In some of the bigger moments, you started this season in a very similar way out of the gate. And I think this game with the Lakers, as you mentioned, as the season has unfolded, is a true gauge to what this team is about and what you should expect from this combination of Westbrook and Harden. The bar right now in this league, it may change in a month, but the bar in this league is the Lakers right now.
You got two games off. You had 2 days off. You got Gordon back, as you talked about yesterday. He's a piece to this team.
Yes.
You hit the nail. There are statement games. You know it. The last couple of years here in Houston, statement games, whenever you see Golden State on the schedule, that's different from the Grizzlies. All right? That's different from the Suns.
Yeah.
You see them on the schedule, we want to make them remember.
Yep.
This year, you see the Lakers and the Clippers, and you see the Bucks. You see those three teams, if you're Houston on the schedule, it's time to go.
That's right.
It's time to go. We got to put them in their minds, if not just to them, to ourselves, to know We can play with these jokers.
Yep.
Especially coming off of what the Rockets have come off. You can't have a team meeting and then right there off the team meeting after having embarrassing, in my opinion, embarrassing losses for the talent that the Rockets have to the Grizzlies, which one of these games went close, and then him coming out with 13 points. I forgot who the hell they played the other day.
Trailblazers.
The trail against Portland, and Carmelo's old ass is still running around here and out playing a lot of the Rockets players. No intensity, no fire. Then you got the team set up on national TV. Come on, you play the game. National TV game. Let's go. We need to see the best performance.
Yeah, look, Rockets. Show, this is a time. I'm a product guy. Once again, I'm a product guy. I don't need you necessarily to win this basketball game. What you can't do is disappear in the fourth quarter. What you can't do is play without energy and without effort. I understand. Look, with the Rockets, man, there's a chemistry problem right now. Everybody expected it, right? This is the first gauge of where are you at in that process, in that process of coming together and gelling. And it's not a perfect product yet. You get it. But where are you at in that process of inserting Russell Westbrook into this organization and fitting with Harden when he's on the floor and Harden when he's on the bench? Where does Russell Westbrook fit on this basketball team? And you're 100% right. Tonight is the gauge, man. It's the bar. It's going to be one of those that I think that the it should be starred on the schedule. And look, I don't buy the fact that athletes in basketball and baseball don't star certain opponents on the schedule simply because there's so many games in a season. I ain't buying that.
You see, but you perk up when you're a star and you see other stars on there. When you see LeBron, you perk up. And when I said I'm calling out James Harden, my God, come on now. This is supposed to be, I know it says you're averaging 37 a game, but what he's brought to the table the last few games, it's just not been.
Be careful just, now, show. This is another one. Now you can't look. Be careful now.
I'm just saying it's got to be bigger in this game. You can't be coming out enough 13 damn points.
Look, I'm
and not
you.
To mention on the defensive end, he's reverted.
Well, you know,
because he started playing really well. Okay, let me. He started really improving defensively. In the last couple of games, he's just said to Dale with it, man. Let's run it to the other side.
Yeah, look, I think there's times when Harden, and again, I don't know if it's there. You know, again, we didn't talk about this, but you laughed about strip joints earlier. There's a correlation in whether you want to bet James Harden the Rockets or not, according to what strip joints are in the city. So, I mean, you know, there's a time that there may be a little the juicy the gas tank may be a little empty on game day.
So
yeah, that may be. But this ain't one of them games. This is one of them games where you need to go on home, get your toes up, get you the night before the game, get you some spaghetti, get some carbs, right? Get you some Alfredo, get you something with some carbs in it, so you got some juice on game day and get ready to rock and roll. This is again, you got them coming into your own backyard. The city's gonna be on one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a weekend game.
You just lost me because I'm trying to figure out what are the top five strip joints in Houston. That's just where my head went ever since you said it. That's just where I am.
Let's see how aggressive all these tough guys are on this text board. I bet they're scared that the wife is going to see that text. I bet they don't text in talking trash about that.
I know B-Mac's nasty ass. I bet he knows the top three.
B-Mac, plead the fifth, man.
I plead the fifth my ass. You got. I kick it at strict clubs, look in your eyes when I see it's on you, Square, man.
Some profiling, man.
I'm just saying you don't see how you look at me. You look at me like I like strip clubs.
If I looked at you like that, I would be going to strip clubs.
I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying. You just saying. I'm about to turn it out here in a couple of minutes. This should be a big one. This should be a big one.
Yeah, no doubt.
You're right. The expectation isn't that they have to come out and win. The expectation has to look like, okay, I can believe that they can play on the level with the Lakers.
So it's not a must-win game.
AD doesn't play. If AD doesn't play, I think they ought to win. That should be must-win.
Yeah, I mean, okay, that's fair. But, I mean, for me, it's not a must-win. It's a game that's important on the schedule, and it's a statement game. I think you can show nationally where you're at as a basketball team, Where how big of a deal Russell Westbrook coming to this basketball team and wearing Rocket Red? You got a chance. You got a chance to this weekend to make a huge statement. If you don't make it, it don't matter, man. Playoff basketball is all that matters. Get there and then be trending upward when you get there and playing great basketball, and the chemistry needs to be where it's at by then. But you got a chance tonight, all right, I'm sorry, Saturday,
yep,
to make a statement game, to make a statement to everybody that's doubted James Harden, everybody that's doubted Russell Westbrook, and the combination of the two. You got an opportunity right there in your face to make that statement.
Yeah, and I can't wait to hear from Brian Scalabrine. He's coming up. Brian Scalabrine, he'll be on here with us at 3 o'clock, Clint, to let us know about this huge game. He's radio.com sports NBA insider Brian Scalabrine. He'll talk to us about the Rockets' struggles here coming up. Brian will be brought to you by new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Onyx in Richmond, I'm not familiar with it. Is that one of the spots, B-Mac?
Why are you looking at me, man?
Listen, man.
Yeah, hey, man, you're talking to the wrong guy, bro. That's one of them. you're talking to the wrong guy in there, Chief.
Brian Scalabrine at 3 o'clock coming up next. Apparently, I was talking to the wrong guy, but Clint believes there is one playoff team. Championship Sunday coming up this weekend. There is one playoff team that is flat out being disrespected. That's coming up next. All right, welcome back in, Clint Stoerner. I am Ron, the show, Hughley, filling in, coming up 3 o'clock. Make sure you're listening. Radio.com's NBA insider Brian Scalabrine will be joining us. And, Clint, it's Championship Sunday,
yes,
baby.
Yes, it is, baby.
Championship
yes,
Sunday. I'm excited for these games. I know yesterday you was excited about Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
But you
didn't agree with me. You done got one of your partners calling in later in the show too. I'll tear his ass up too. He can join these text borders if he wants to.
Yeah, yeah. He's out here. I mean, Clint's ready to go.
Hey, man.
Taking him out. Who's the next victim? Who's the next victim? Who's not
on the board?
Who's the next? I mean, you on a roll. So you talk about people. People being disrespected.
I'm good. I'm good. They want to talk about Onyx on Richmond right now, so I'm good.
You keep telling me about this Onyx on Richmond.
Hey, wifey, how you doing?
There you go. Pops, what's good?
Man, that's right.
All right. So we talking about this before the show. You're saying, man, there's the Titans, man,
and you've
seen a lot of the Titans. You know, the Texans have played them twice. You feel like they're being disrespected in this game.
Yeah, look, I feel like they're being disrespected in this game based off of what they did a week ago. I mean, when you look at the game plan and the execution versus the best team in the league, 14-2 Baltimore, they had taken the NFL by storm. Their unorthodox approach made it very, very difficult to prepare for these guys. Not only did Tennessee have to play the week before and beat New England, but they turned around in a week's time and prepared for that monster that Baltimore was. And they got good players. They got good players. But their roster ain't setting the world on fire
right now. They got great players.
You don't look at them and go, man, these dudes right here are as talented as anybody in the league. You look at them and go, they got great players. They fit. Like, Tannehill's not the best quarterback in the league, but he fits what they do really, really well. His skill set fits what Tennessee needs their quarterback to do really, really well. So we look at that and we go, we just glanced over it. I don't even know that we talked about that game from a game plan perspective for more than 10 minutes on this show. And that I look back and I'm like, I'm doing a little self-evaluation. That's bull jive. There ain't no doubt about it. We should have dedicated more time to that. The way that they beat Baltimore with the plan and how it played into how their offensive skills, their offensive approach and scheme fit into their ability to win that game was huge. And I think this week versus Kansas City, it's very similar. The opponents are different.
You're damn right they are.
The opponents are obviously different. There's no doubt about it. But I'll say this, the opponents ain't no – neither one of them are less scary than the other. Neither one of them are less potent than the other. I mean, we're splitting hairs right now after Baltimore goes up 14-2 this season, and they go 200 rushing, 200 passing on the season. I mean, one of the top offenses and top defenses in this league all year long. I think we're splitting hairs if we go, man, Kansas City's a lot more dangerous than Baltimore was.
For the Titans, they are. And I understand, and this will come off because the Titans did beat the Chiefs earlier this year in a crazy, crazy game. But the thing was, they forced, right? They put their will in the game early and forced Baltimore to make Lamar. I think Baltimore helped him and made him a passer more than he needed to be. But they forced him to have to throw the ball nearly 60 times. Well, then that's going to be a problem right now for Lamar. In this game, first off, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid seem to be on a mission to me. And the matchups, it's going – you Ryan can't throw for 88 yards in this ball game and them win. I don't believe he can throw for 88 yards in this game and then win.
No. I agree with, if we get down in the nuts and bolts of what Kansas City's capable of doing, yeah. But my point is, why aren't we talking about if Vrabel and company can put a game plan together that nobody else was able to do during a regular season and shut down the MVP of the league the way he did against Baltimore, why are we not sitting here going, well, hell, he could probably put a pretty damn good game plan together to slow Kansas City down.
Slow them down, maybe. But they were humming the last time they played them offensively, and they made a ton of mistakes in the game, and it was the first game Mahomes was back, and he threw for 445 in the game. They made a lot. Game plans are great. This is like the Chiefs with the Titans can be like Tyson. Game plans are great until – you ain't, until you down 7-0 and they're kicking the ball off at you and they got to score because you can't go down two scores against the Chiefs because you're just not going to be able to stop them.
Look, it's going to take a hell of a game plan early. It's going to take a little bit of luck, which, look, let's be honest. The Chiefs ain't above giving somebody a lead. Hell, they handed the Texans a 24-point lead.
You're damn not. You're sure about that?
And I'm going to be honest with you, man. Kansas City plays a risky style of football. I mean, Pat Mahomes is great. I said this from the jump. The dude's great. He makes ridiculous throws. There's no doubt about it. But when you play the air raid, essentially an air raid style of offense, where your quarterback's in gun, and you announce to the entire world that you're gonna snap that sucker to him, and you're gonna try to win from 7 yards behind the center and throwing the football all over the park, it's a risky style. These defensive ends, they're gonna pin their ears back. That defensive coordinator is gonna scheme up some looks that you didn't see from the Texans, man. I'm not saying that Tennessee's better than Kansas City. Well, what I'm saying is we ain't giving Vrabel enough credit for that game plan that he had against the nastiest team in the league, which was Baltimore throughout the season. And I ain't real quick to think that he can't put another pretty good one together against Kansas City this week.
I don't want to disrespect Vrabel because he's had a hell of a postseason. But this team that he's facing, when you put them on the field with his team, it's such a problem, in my opinion, for them, especially in Kansas City. And when you start to put them out there and you say, we got Tyreek we got to deal with, you got Travis you got to deal with, whenever Sammy Watkins feels like playing, you got to deal with him and Hardman. And then you think to themselves, well, they got a quarterback in two playoff games that's thrown for under 100. They often scored 14 against the Patriots, and that's not going to be good enough.
Man. I agree.
That's the concern.
I agree.
Me.
If Kansas, my point is the game plan could it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't have a nasty game plan that caused some problems for Kansas City. You ain't gonna shut them down, but you ain't gonna rattle off 51 against Tennessee straight. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. After what I watched last week, I just don't believe it's happening.
If they
leave a crack in the door, and they'll have the Texans, and it was week six, and I know there's some problems. But the Texans, the time of possession was 39-something. The Texans had a damn ball two-thirds of the game, brother. What do you think Tennessee's going to do if you leave that little crack open?
Yeah, but I think there's a difference, though. You got Deshaun there that's a better quarterback and a better playmaker than I think Ryan Tannehill is. And I understand I understand Derrick Henry has been playing his ass off. But I just think the Chiefs' offense is going to dictate the game so much that you can't use Derrick Henry the way that they want to use Derrick Henry. I don't think they're going to be able to control the game
If that's the case, you're right, Kansas City liable to run away with this thing. I mean, they're liable to run away with the rest of the games they
play. I'm just saying it's hard for me to see it not happening that way with this team.
It ain't hard for me to see it. Not after what Tennessee did last week on the defensive side of the football, and not after what I've watched Derrick Henry do the last 3 or 4 weeks in a run game. They're the only team in the league, and I may be missing one. Baltimore's one of them. There may be a couple of them. San Francisco's pretty good. But they're a monster in this league in today's game that will line up in in 21 personnel mm-hmm. or 11 personnel and run into a heavy box.
Don't care.
They don't care.
They're giving it to him.
No problem. Well, I'm going to turn around and give it to him. Right? They ain't going to get into the mind games of, well, we're going to put Tannehill in gun and we're going to ask Tannehill to. No. We're going to run into this 8-man box or 7-man box, this one extra defender box, and we're going to believe that. Did you see Derrick Henry last week? Did you see him last week when that defensive lineman hit him?
Yeah.
And he went for a long run. A defensive lineman hit him and it looked like me bumping into somebody. I mean, it was a 90 number. It was a defensive lineman hit him, was smaller than him, and then bounced off of him. I'm just saying, if the Texans can keep Kansas City's offense on the sideline for 40 minutes of a game, it ain't a huge stretch to think that if the dominoes fall the right way, that Tennessee can't accomplish the same thing.
It's not a huge stretch. And right, by the way, many people agree that they've always felt that the worst matchup for the Chiefs is the Titans because of what they do with Henry. I am just one that's inclined to believe the way this offense is now playing up to this point, at points of the season, the Chiefs offense hadn't been playing up to their caliber because of injuries and stuff. Yeah. But they are rocking and rolling now, and they get up. Like you said, they held it 40 minutes. I don't think the Titans are going to be able to do it because you can't just keep running it when you're down 13, when you're down 14. And these fools keep coming
look,
in.
Look, show, that's
just object.
And I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. Here's the kicker is this.
I get what you're saying, because the Ravens were the best offensive football this year, and they shut them down and made that game. But that, man, that packed a different animal.
If KC gets a double-digit lead early in the game, it's going to be –
it's curtain.
Yeah, it could be a curtain call.
But you're not going to stop them.
But I got to believe that the game plan for Tennessee on the offensive side of the football – it's got to be one to not obviously win the game, but a big part of it's going to be keep the Kansas City Chiefs on the sideline. And that may be easier said than done, but if anybody in this league can do it, it was Baltimore, it's San Francisco, and it's Tennessee. If anybody can dominate the time of possession, if anybody can take advantage of that added man in the box and get some single coverage over the top and throw the big ball over the top, Tannehill can do that at a unbelievable clip. And so I think I wanted to take some time today to put a little bit of respect on Tennessee and Vrabel and what Vrabel's done. I think it's beautiful what he did last week, and we didn't give it enough love. And I think it's not a stretch to think that they could put a hell of a product on the field this week as well.
No, I hear what you're saying, man. The Chiefs lost that time of possession by a lot last week.
Yeah, here's a question.
By a lot last week.
I ain't trying to hear all that.
And that 51-7.
I ain't trying to hear all
that. They lost time.
Time didn't matter, cuz. Time didn't matter. Look at, man, you running through that damn Kansas City, ran through the Texans like mess through a goose.
They scored in three. They scored in touchdown to 3 minutes.
7 straight possession. Get the hell out of here.
Kiss my ass on that time of possession.
You kidding me? Come on, man. Make some changes.
No, I know you got to quit, but I will say this, Clint. Andy Reid, he better not lose.
Ooh, that sounds strong.
No, I
did
that.
Talk. You got to catch me up. We talked a little bit about Andy Reid leading into the Texans game about how he had a lot of pressure, particularly losing playoff games at home has been a tough deal for him. I believe I remember correctly, but where's the pressure stemming from?
He's got to me. He has the most pressure from anybody left, any player. Aaron Rodgers, a lot of people. I think Andy Reid does. He cannot lose to Ryan Tannehill when he has Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill, and Frank Clark.
They're loaded.
And Chris Jones. He cannot lose at home to them. He can't. This is a guy who I believe is a Hall of Fame coach, top five in wins, and he's only played for the chip once.
Yeah.
Like one time. He had Donovan McNabb. He's only played for – it's been set up for him. New England effed away the game to give them the number two seed so they can have home field. Then the Titans win and beat the Ravens. They have to play them. Like, he cannot lose. He's got to at least – you can't have the best player in the sport, which I believe Patrick Mahomes is, at the most important position, and then them have Ryan Tannehill at home. And Mike Vrabel, we talked about, done a masterful job. He's not Andy Reid yet.
Right.
He's
not on that level. I agree. You know, the one thing that I think may come back to bite him, no-show, is I think that defense is overrated. They've had a lot of success late in the season. But I think all the hype around the defense could end up biting them. Because what was it last year, right? Last year, Kansas City had all that power on offense. They were scoring points left and right, and the defense couldn't hold water.
But then they ran into the greatest.
Right, right. Well, yeah, that's always a problem, right, when you run into that monster. But
they're
but
not running into him
now. He ain't away no more, right? Somebody else took care of him. But my point is like this year there's no excuses. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the defense is shored up. That whether you think it's they're overrated or not, statistically it's overrated or not, everybody in America thinks that the Kansas City Chiefs defense is playing really, really good ball. So there's no excuse, right? To your point, it's like Bill O'Brien to me in Houston. When I watched the Texans last year, I mean, everybody's getting all amped up about it, about them not winning games and not winning. I'm like, guys, y'all see the offensive line? Like, there's, you can't win with that. I don't care how good Deshaun Watson is. I don't care how good. You can't win with that offensive line. He righted the ship with the Tunzel move and made some moves up front, and they were better, and we set it from the jump. Now you're backed into a corner. Now you're backed into the corner, Chief. It's the talent's right. The roster's right. You got to go make plays. And it didn't end up happening. Same thing with Andy Reid. Last year you could say, and I know the GOAT got him. Tom Brady got him. But you could say, well, if the defense could hold somebody under 30 points, the Chiefs could win, right?
True.
They're doing that now, Chief.
They're doing it.
They're doing it now. So the expectations go through the roof. When you fill all the voids and you fix all the problems in the offseason or even throughout the season early, guys get healthy. You acquire a couple of guys here and there. Everybody's playing at a high level. There's nobody to back into the corner other than the head coach.
See, everything that you talked about earlier in this segment about what could happen with the Titans,
yeah,
what they could do,
mm-hmm,
it's possible. Hell, once again, I want to reiterate, they have already beaten the Chiefs this year. What I'm saying is, it better not happen, Andy. That can't happen. Like that can't happen. Like you can't have Patrick Mahomes. Listen, I know you break it down a little bit more than I do, and probably a little bit more than everybody out there listening. I'm a simple man. I really believe the NFL and college too is about coaching and quarterback. And when you have the advantage that Andy Reid has in coaching over Mike Vrabel, who is a good young coach,
yep,
and Patrick Mahomes and Ryan Tannehill, which is the size of the Grand Canyon and difference between skill level.
Yeah.
When you have that, and I'm not even talking about what Travis Kelce did to y'all and the Texans last week. We saw what he's capable of doing. You didn't even get to see Tyreek Hill, who I think is the most dynamic player in football, the scariest person in football. Not to mention those things. It's just him and Mahomes. He can't lose at home. He cannot. He's got more pressure than Rodgers, more pressure than anybody else. He cannot lose. This is set up for the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl.
When you talk about the teams that are left and you factor in talent, you factor in experience, you factor in the explosive weapons, all things considered, Kansas City's the favorite far and away to win this thing.
I'd say this too.
I don't know what I don't even know what Vegas has them at, but I think they're the favorite far and away to win.
7 or 8 in this game. I'd do this. If Deshaun Watson is against Ryan Tannehill to get to a Super Bowl, and I know you may disagree part because you say, well, who's calling the plays? But if I see Deshaun Watson against Ryan Tannehill to get to a Super Bowl, Deshaun's got to come up with a way to win that. Because the distance between how good he is and how important that position is, you got to come and make it happen.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. But here's the deal, show, is that this ain't about Patrick Mahomes versus Tannehill. Ultimately, the stat line that matters is Patrick Mahomes versus Derrick Henry.
You think it is more.
Yeah, hell yeah, ain't no doubt about it. Well, I mean, Tennessee ain't got a chance. If this thing comes down between Tannehill and Mahomes, Tennessee ain't got a chance. They ain't got a snowball's chance in hell.
And that's what I think Mahomes will force it to be. With the way he plays,
boy,
and
he confident, does, boy. He,
I'm just saying what I see here.
Look, I
don't give a damn who wins the game. I'm just telling you, that's what I see.
I think another quick one. When you talk about Patrick Mahomes, I love him. I love him. I love watching him play. I understand why the world's in love with him.
But
it's a risky style of ball, baby. I go back to my Alabama.
Man, style of ball you would play.
No, hell no. I'm limited talent-wise, baby. I'm limited. I need a nice, clean pocket. I need a soft corner so I can throw that old hitch and let him run. You know what I mean?
You want to sling it.
Yeah, no. I don't want to throw it 50 times. I'm one of them guys that was better off if I could throw it 25. So Look, no, I don't want no piece of it, but it's just risky. Go back to Alabama, man. Talk about Alabama football. Alabama football right now is more vulnerable than it's ever been because they're putting their quarterback in gun and they're snapping that thing and throwing it all over the park, and what happens? Now your signal caller, now your leader gets banged up all the damn time. Right? I mean, it's just, and what happened to Kansas City this year? Mahomes getting banged up, right? And I know that was a little quarterback thing, but his ankle was banged
his
up before
hurt,
that.
Yeah.
Right? And so you get in and around that quarterback, and one goes down wrong one way, one time, and it changes the entire game. And it changes the offense's ability to attack the way that it can. I just think they're vulnerable. They're clearly the better team. Mahomes is a monster, but that style of ball is vulnerable.
Coming up next, the Rockets have a huge game tomorrow against the Lakers. They've been struggling. Can they get out of it? We'll see how important this game is. Coming up next, we'll be joined by NBA Insider, Radio.com, Sports NBA Insider, Brian Scalabrine. That's coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.